Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Jan Schulzhofen, the co-founder and managing director at Planio, a project management platform that's built to make team and client collaboration more efficient and fun. What I like most about Planio is that the company actually started as a side project and is today bringing in nearly $85,000 in monthly recurring revenue, which is over $1 million a year. And about 10 years ago, Jan was in the middle of running his own web design and development agency in Berlin called LaunchCo. They partnered with clients like Software AG, Enterprise Rails, and FontShop to help build and launch Ruby on Rails applications. And all the while, Jan's team was constantly launching their own side projects, knowing they'd want to eventually get into running a product-focused business rather than being service providers forever. So naturally, Planio was born out of their drive to create a solution to a consistent problem they were identifying with their consulting clients. They'd help their clients build and launch new projects, but after that, many of them didn't have a good process or tool in place for continuing to manage those projects. So Jan and his team built Planio, their answer to this problem, and they got their first customers for the product by selling it to their existing pool of web development clients. Going on almost 7 years now with Planio, they've been steadily growing their revenue and team. In this episode, Jan and I talk about how he came up with the idea for Planio and the strategies he used to lead his team through a transition from being a service-oriented business to becoming a full-blown software-as-a-service company. We're digging into the biggest growth channels Jan and his team have used to bring over 1,500 paying customers, including Alliance, Seagate, Staples, and Citrix, without ever taking funding or bank loans to grow the business. We're covering his best advice for people who want to build a SaaS product, how to get your first customers, and so much more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Jan Schulzhofen. Jan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
So let's start this off right. I've been asking all of the guests here on the show. First question, what book are you reading right now, or what's been your favorite recently?
To be honest, I don't really have much time to read books, or whenever I start a book, I just find myself skimming through until the end and just try to like read the headlines. But I'm actually following, I think, a little over 300 different blogs. So I was a big user of Google Reader. Now I use something called FeedWrangler to just like follow individual blogs, like, I don't know, like the usual suspects like Neil Patel, Alex Turnbull, Brian Dean, and other like smaller blogs. And that's where I get my news and my inspiration from. It's been a long time since I read a whole book entirely.
Yes, I don't blame you. You have a lot going on, which I want to dig into in this episode. So, you know, first things first, I want to go way back to your very beginnings. So where are you originally from, Jan?
I'm from Berlin, Germany. That's where I was born and raised. And then I spent my a lot of my high school time I spent in France. I speak fluently French, but that's not really relevant at the moment. And then during my studies, I spent a lot of time in the United States. So I lived in Silicon Valley for some time. And now since a little more than 10 years, so back home in Berlin and working on Planio.
All right. So Berlin has called you back. What was it like growing up there?
It was really nice. It was like 7 or 8 when the wall came down. So I really lived through that period where we had this like big change going on in Berlin, where like we had like the new half of the city like joining where I used to live. And it was a very exciting time. So a lot of things have changed here since then.
Yeah, it actually seems like there's a really vibrant startup culture in Berlin now too.
Yeah, that only happened, I think, like during the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years. A lot of people have been coming to Berlin to build startups. The startup scene, the entire investment scene has been growing a lot. And I think many people just like it here because up until recently, the rents were really low, cost of living was low. And we have a lot of great bars and party scene, so you can really go out and enjoy life as well. So yeah, it's maybe that's why I never really left Berlin for good.
Well, it sounds like maybe how Silicon Valley was 30, 40 years ago.
maybe.
Okay, so let's fast forward a little bit. You eventually make your way to university. You go through school. Do you remember what your first job was after university?
So I never really had an actual job, to be honest. I was I think it started in my high school time that I was working as a freelancer and I fixed computers for people and companies that were in Berlin or close to me that I knew through like recommendations. And I did that to finance my high school and college. And then eventually I got into software development and programming and started building smaller websites for companies and then started with my own projects. And this is where it all eventually led to where we are right now. So I can't say that except for a couple of internships. I interned for SAP once. It's a large enterprise software company. Except for those, I never really had a real job.
I love that. Yeah, that's awesome. I think it kind of speaks volumes to what you've done, all the different projects you've involved with too. So I want to kind of go through this linearly. So eventually you find yourself working on LaunchCo. Is that sort of the name or the brand, the agency that you ran all of your original freelance work through as well?
Yes, that's the third iteration of it. So we went through different names and worked with different partners before. But eventually, we called the agency LaunchCo, and the focus of that was to provide software and services at the intersection of a good software design and good user interaction design, because that was back like 10 years back when you realized that there's a lot of software out there that is actually very well structured from a computer science point of view, but it's a horrible mess to use, and there's actually a lot of other tools or websites that look great, but once you like get to the details or want to do something specific, it just breaks down because the coding is so bad. And so we realized that the intersection between these two fields, like user design or graphic design and software development, is something where we want to focus at. And this is what we've been doing before we started with Planio. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, that's. I mean, those are two very pressing problems even still. Do you remember who your very first paying client was with LaunchCo?
The very first paying client, that must have been, it's a very small company. It's an architecture firm. They were actually, I worked for them back in the days when I was fixing computers. And we did websites for them and some internal tools to manage their projects. They're actually been one of the major architects involved with the reconstruction of the of Alexanderplatz, which is the main train station here in Berlin. So they had a lot of projects going on there involving lots of people. And so we wrote a lot of software for them to work together with their project partners and clients. And yeah, so they're still a good customer for us today.
I like that. So this was kind of this client in particular maybe is an example of, a referral or someone that you just have had a longstanding relationship with. Has that been sort of a consistent theme with many of the clients you guys have worked with along with LaunchCo?
I think I can say so. Yeah. We've always been a very, very small company, even now that we've seen some success with Planio. Like working with us feels more like, chatting with good friends or talking about the challenges that the clients might face, and then like getting right down to the details, trying to solve them, and not really it's not really a customer client supplier type of relationship that we have. It's more of like talking with friends, brainstorming and thinking about how we can solve problems together, and also like having fun while doing so. I think it's always this main thing that our customers like about working with us, and that's what gets us recommendations as well.
Yeah, I like that. You can feel that even just from browsing the website. It's very like, it seems like you guys are very organic about everything you do. You're not this like faceless agency. There's pictures of you guys all sort of plastered around the website. So it makes it very like warm and inviting. I like that.
Yeah, that's kind of our thing. We want to be as approachable as we can to all of our customers and clients. And I think that's very important, just to have that personal relationship with anybody you work with.
So eventually, you know, you've mentioned Planeo a couple of times already. So eventually you guys at LaunchCo build this tool, this product called Planeo. How would you describe what it is today and maybe, you know, take us back to what its first MVP looked like?
Yeah. So today Planeo is a project management and collaboration platform that can be used by businesses of all sizes and in all industries to basically manage projects and get work done in a team. It has at the very core has a very strong and powerful customizable ticket engine where people can track tasks together and work together on moving projects from start to finish, and then has a lot of other different features around that for knowledge management, for communication, and chat, for the structuring and hosting of files and documents, but also code, to agile project management methods like Scrum boards and so on and so forth. A wiki component and lots of other things that tie into project work. And Planeo actually started as a tool that we needed for ourselves. So it's during the consulting and client work that we did, we always felt that it's imperative for our work to include our clients into the daily process of the project. So we wanted them to really know what's going on the day to day. Without having to jump on status calls every day or every week, but to really have that feeling of having the client there with us while we do the work, because that we feel that that's just the way that we can actually make the best progress and also complete projects that are exactly what the client wants and not what we think they might have wanted. So we were looking for a tool, and since we are we've been mostly working with the Ruby on Rails programming language. We got involved with the with Redmine very early on. Redmine is an open source project that's also been running for I think 11 or 12 years now. That is an online software that actually offers a lot of those features, so task management and a collaboration in a team online. So we took this platform and used it together with our clients, and we did a lot of modifications to it. We contributed a lot of the changes that we did back to the open source community, and eventually this led to the product that is now called Planeo, and that's used by all our former clients but also by many other companies.
I love that this was a solution to a problem that you guys, you know, personally identified within your company. So I'm really curious to hear, you know, looking back at the very early days of when you were testing out the product, maybe onboarding your first couple of customers to use the paid version of Planeo from, you know, your existing pool of consulting clients. How did you guys decide to start like allocating resources away from, you know, this consulting business that's already bringing in revenue over to this brand new product that is, you know, effectively just costing you time?
So it was, it's kind of started after whenever we finished a project and we would like wrap things up and like send everything over to the client. We would bill them, they would pay their bills, they would be happy about it. They gave us great reviews or recommended us to other contacts they had. And then a common thing popped up when customers came to us and asked whether they could keep the project management tool and in a way that they can use it for their own project as well. So with the team they had or the work they had within their own teams, they wanted to use something similar because back then it was for most of them, it was the first time they actually got into contact an online tool like this, and they wanted to have that for themselves. And we started out by just making this another project. And so we said, okay, well, if you want to have that, that's no problem at all. We can set up a project. We will install the software for you. We will do all the modifications that you need for your personal work. And then we can run it for you on our server infrastructure. And so we did that. And well, based on that, we identified common patterns and features that many of the clients wanted, and we solved challenges or problems that many of those clients had, and we were able to scale the business by actually consolidating all this in our own infrastructure and making the product work better from day to day.
No, this is brilliant. I love it. You're essentially using your existing business that has a customer pool and, you know, more inbound leads coming in all the time as a way to fuel the growth of this more sort of passive tool that you guys are launching as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also the way how we financed the business. So we never we were lucky enough to never need any outside investments or venture capital. So we always had this focus on growing Planio with the revenues that we had. At first, we were kind of like cross feeding from the extra revenue that we got from the agency. And after a certain point, we just Planio brought in enough revenue to sustain itself. And then we were just based on the revenue that we had, we were growing slowly, adding more members to the team, adding more infrastructure, improving the product, and so on.
So I've got to ask, was there any sort of, you know, inflection point or when things changed significantly, maybe when people started signing up for Planio who weren't first customers with LaunchCo? Did you guys sort of have like any sort of explosive growth periods, or has it been like a slow and steady climb?
So there has this one time somewhere in 2012, I think, where we at some point realized that there were more clients coming in that hadn't been in touch with us before. They were referred by other customers, or they had found us through the internet. We did some Google AdWords back then, and tried some other like online marketing things where people found us and then signed up and sticked. And that was also the point where we finally were able to shift our focus a little bit over to running Planio and not doing so much client work anymore, because we had the revenue to actually sustain Planio as a product versus being a service company. That happened sometime in 2012, but we've never really had a moment where growth was just exploding or numbers of customers went through the roof. So it always went very gradually and very slowly. It went up and to the right, but it's just very, very sustainably, which I really like about the business, because that means that we never had these growing pains where we would have to add a lot of people to the team in a very short period of time, which would, I think, would have been a very, very big challenge for culture as well. We never had a time where we needed more capital to run the business than we actually had on hand through the revenues that we had. So I think we've been really lucky in this regard that we didn't grow too fast.
Yeah, it seems like you've grown at a good rate to continue growing the business and doing the things you want to do, but at the same time, you're not breaking things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, fast forwarding to today, Planio is bringing in about $75,000 in monthly recurring revenue. Is that still an accurate figure?
Yeah, it's more like 85, 86, I think now is the current number. So we've just crossed the $1 million in annual recurring revenue. Yeah.
Wow! Congratulations, that's huge.
Thanks.
So what today then, when you're looking at the growth channels that are bringing you the most new customers to Planio, what's working best right now?
It's still referrals, to be honest. So it's we see a lot of people not looking for any of the keywords that we're optimizing for, but looking for Planio straight on. And that means that people have heard it somewhere and or read about it somewhere, and then just enter that into Google, sign up for a free trial, and then start using this service. Other than that, we're still running Google AdWords, of course, I think like everybody else does. We've been doing a lot of content marketing in the past couple of years, really trying to start providing valuable content for people who look on how to improve their project or also be more productive as a team member. So we've been doing a lot of that, but the essence of it is still a lot of referral from happy clients, to be honest.
That's a great sign.
We're really happy with it.
Yes, yes. Okay, so Jan, I want to transition over to some of my frequently asked questions now, and I designed them to be intentionally short on my end, but your responses do not need to be equally so.
Okay, good. Let's go.
What would be your biggest piece of advice to someone listening here today that has an idea for a SaaS tool they want to build, but maybe they just don't know how or where to get started with creating or launching it? What's your advice to them?
So I think the classic answer to this would be just go out and talk about it or build like an MVP and see how the initial reactions are. We kind of had the, we were lucky enough to build something that we needed for ourselves. So this would also be one major advantage. If you have an itch, find something that you need to solve for yourself, and you find other people that have the same itch, then that's a very good sign. Other than that, just going out there, talking with people about your idea, not trying to hide it or think about it for too long, not putting it off. Just get started with something. It can be just an email list, or it can be just a simple landing page where you describe what you want to build. Try to get some signups, some people who may be interested in it, and see where that leads you. And once you have that critical, like a small number of people who are interested in what you're building, talk with them. Just like find out what they really need. Don't shy away from changing your idea based on the feedback that you get, and just try all the things that you think make sense, and eventually something will stick.
I love that. So Jan, have you guys had any particular strategies, tactics, or ideas that you've tested, end up being a failure?
Things that we tried that ended up being a failure. I think, yeah. So before we started Planio, we actually had this phase in LaunchCo where we did client work, but we also had this little more time on our hands than we needed for our clients. And we always tried to like launch our own products, because we always had this idea that we wanted to move into a product business. And we did a lot of things back then. So, and it was very, very many different ideas. We were, I think in 2007, we created a social network for soccer players, because like amateur soccer is really big in Germany. So we also wanted, we wanted an online platform for them to organize themselves. It was a complete failure, because back in 2007, especially those people were not using internet or mobile phones enough to actually want to sign up on another social network for this. We created a platform that does marketing on Twitter. So when Twitter first came out in 2008, I think in 2009, we created a tool that allowed you, like similarly to pay-per-click platforms, to sell your own tweets for advertising, and we had like a huge matching engine that would like do some content analysis back in 2009 to like match tweet topics to advertisers. It was also a total failure. I think it was way ahead of its time. We also we made a huge mistake of not really disclosing what it was meant for. So people thought it was just like people shilling out and like selling out their tweets. Many of these smaller ideas that we just tried launching on the side as side projects, that some went somewhere, some made some money, but none really took off. But I think that's the essence of it. If you're an entrepreneur, I haven't seen anybody who had his first idea, launched the idea, and went straight to big success. Like there's always so many different things that happen in between you start and between the a point where you actually are able to live from your own product. And I think the key is just to not give up, to like learn from your mistakes, see what you did wrong, do something else next time. Eventually it will work.
Yeah, that's been a very consistent takeaway from just about everyone who's going to be out there on the show. Have you had any, particular sacrifices that come to mind that you've had to make in order to put enough time and effort into your business over the years?
I don't think that I've really sacrificed personal life over work too much over the time. I think a big part of that is that we never chose to have somebody else run our business for us. So we never took on any responsibilities towards any investors or any banks or people who gave us loans to like report to where our progress is or to like be able to put pressure on us in terms of how fast we want to proceed with getting to certain milestones or to certain steps. And so this is why I think we've always been able to work at our own pace and also focus on our personal lives as well, not spend too much time at the office and really work on projects because it's fun and because it's challenging and because it's something that we want to do and not because we do something that we have the feeling that must be done in order to get on. I think that was kind of the essence of it. Yeah. So I don't think, not from my perspective, no real big sacrifices. Yeah.
No, I love that. I think more people should take a page out of that book. It's easy to get overly consumed in your work these days.
Yeah. I think it's very easy to just like every night burn midnight all just because you think that it needs to be finished right now or like quickly enough. At the end of the day, I found that timing is not always super important. There's like when you're a small business, you're rarely eaten by a bigger competitor, or you're rarely too late to the market for anything. So Planyo is not like, we're not the first to invent online project management. There are so many other platforms and tools out there, but we're solving a particular problem for a particular niche of clients. And we don't need to stress about like being the first or the fastest to go somewhere.
All right, Jan. Well, this is going to be my last question for you. What's been the best investment you feel you've ever made in the context of growing your business? So this could be in the form of time, money, education, tools, products, services, people, or otherwise.
I think the best investment that I've ever made is the people that I hired for Planyo. We are right now nine people total. I think the best thing that has happened to this business is that we've been able to grow a very small core team of people who like each other, who like working with each other, who work together really, really well. And we have this great culture where people just work at the pace that they want to, work on the exciting, on the projects that excite them versus what the company or what the clients need. And really having this feeling of coming to work every day and like just being together with good friends and working on something great. That's what I feel every day when I get to the office. And that's, I think, really the thing that has benefited our business the most over the last years.
Yeah, I love that. There's no better feeling than loving the people you work with.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, Jan, thank you for joining us. Can you tell everyone listening today where they go to learn more about you, Planyo, and everything you guys are up to?
Thank you so much for having me. It was great. Thanks.
All right. Well, for everyone listening, you can check out Planyo at plan.io. Jan, thank you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.